Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Jim, to what do you attribute such a slow start tonight?
Last rush of the third period, and we will go to sudden death overtime in game five.
We weren't good enough. Just simple as that.
Tavares sets his edges.
Toronto came out ready to play. They took it to us. We weren't ready to match their desperation.
Toronto wins on a Matt Nyes goal, sending the teams back to Toronto for game six.
Ooh. Don't like that. Do not like that out of the Bruins last night. My worst fears realized. No Austin Matthews. They throttle back. They're flat as a pancake. And now it's a series. What should be over and done with last night at the Garden is now a series with the Toronto Maple Leafs, or is it? You can disagree. Here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We are live today inside our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. And it's brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Now, during Truck Month, you can get a great deal on Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 47 straight years, and the official truck of your Boston Red Sox. Programming note, we will talk to Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, at 2:30. So mark that down. Listen live on the Odyssey app. But a lot of Bruins talk today. How nervous are you about the Bruins, Mego? It's our big question of the day. Up now at Jones and Mego. We'll get right to all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. How nervous are you about the Bruins following that loss last night, 2-1 in overtime?
It comes down to trust for me, and I don't trust them. I don't trust them. Like, I haven't lost all confidence that they're at the beginning of a total collapse that we've seen them have before, just as recent as last year. But I don't trust him. I definitely don't trust Grizzlick. But at this point, like, even talking about him after listening to the shows at other points of today, the midday show, the morning show, it feels like just piling on. I trust Swayman, so I don't even want that to be a conversation about where they're going forward for tomorrow's game, well, or heaven forbid if there's a game seven. I know it's a conversation that a lot of beat writers seem to want to have and want to regurgitate. But I don't know if I can trust Jim Montgomery. Because the decisions that he made with the lineups last night were very confusing. And I don't trust completely that he's going to make all the right decisions, whether it be with the goalie or with those lineups again. I don't understand why he put Grzelcyk back in there after Lowry and McAvoy were so good together just the game prior. I'm not going to say that it's a total collapse because I still think that your goaltending with Swayman in there is better than their goaltending on the other side. And who knows what's going on with Austin Matthews? That's a big question mark with whatever lingering illness he has. But the best way to put it is I don't trust him. So I'm pretty concerned.
Fair. The lineup changes, by the way. Beecher out, Brazo in, Grzelcyk back in. He started the series in there. And Shattenkirk out. Grzelcyk was originally replaced by Lauri, going back to, the game two loss, where they got him out of the lineup and made some switches. I hate to blame the absence of Johnny Beecher or the presence of Brazo or even Grzelcyk. Like, I hate to blame people like that for the loss last night, but the lineup changes did make no sense. Like, why, when you're rolling and you have control of the series, why screw around with it? So on that level, I get it. I like to look a little higher and aim a little higher than a fourth line player and a bottom pair defenseman. But Grzelcyk was out there. He's on the ice in overtime getting caved in by John Tavares. So I get it. Arcan, how nervous are you?
Pretty nervous. This is why I've been saying since the beginning that this team needs a special goalie performance if they want to make a run. They're not good enough. And that game last night, I think, is evidence of that. They just aren't. They're not good enough to be able to go out there and win on their terms. They're not good enough to sustain a high level of play and to keep the pressure on a team like Toronto, who, like you said, Jones, and you too, Mego, they're on the ropes. They were completely on the ropes. They were infighting. They had really no chance, I didn't think, of beating the Bruins in this game with Swayman playing well. I just thought there was no way that was going to happen. There's no way that this team is going to come out and lay such an egg. Two shots in the first period? I mean, come on. Like, that's about as bad as it gets. And they are getting a special goalie performance. Swayman's still the best goalie in the playoffs. Even with the loss last night, he still has the best stats. But even with that, they just can't help themselves. In an elimination game, they just can't. They can't shake it. They play like losers in elimination games. And another thing, as much as I love Jeremy Swayman, he's 0-for in elimination games, going back a couple years now. So this is something that he needs to be able to overcome as well, and he's played well enough to do it. The rest of the team, though, needs to stop doing this every single year. It is infuriating.
Okay, to build out on what you were just saying, their last seven Game 5s at the Garden, seven of them, 1-6. All seven games were one goal. Not ideal. This is from Boston Sports Inf. Here are the losses. It was Toronto last night. It was Florida last year. It was the Islanders in 2021. St. Louis, that one sound familiar? That was the Cup Final in 2019. They did beat Columbus at home in May of 2019. They ended up winning that series. Their other two losses in Game 5s were both against Toronto in 19 and 18. So, yes, they do have trouble closing out at home. How nervous am I? I'm not. I'm not at all.
Look at you.
You know why? It has nothing to do with the Bruins.
Okay.
It has everything to do with the team on the other side. I'm not afraid of the Leafs. Are you afraid of Toronto? Like, as much as the Bruins choke at home, and as much as the Bruins can't take care of business in closeout games, and Swayman hasn't done it, and they suck in all these Game 5s, what'd they come back and do in a bunch of those Game 7s, specifically against Toronto? They win. Because Toronto gags bigger than the Bruins. So, am I concerned? No. I think the Bruins win this series. I'll tell you, I'm not going to be thrilled if it comes back to Boston for a Game 7. Like, don't let it come back to Boston. Don't give this team any more life than you have to. Step on their throats tomorrow night in Toronto. So, I'm not nervous about them losing the series. I am pissed about how they played last night. And to me, those are two different things. But maybe you disagree. You can tell me I'm wrong if you want. I'm not concerned about them losing the series. They're going to close out Toronto. Toronto's a bigger choking team. They are on the verge of quitting. And I felt very strongly at the end of the first period, as flat as the Bruins came out, I'm like, wow, Toronto just emptied the bucket. They don't have Matthews, and they still don't have the lead. They're going to quit. And for large parts of the game, I feel like the Bruins took the play to them in the second and third quarters. Toronto was mostly invisible. And I felt like the Bruins carried the play, but they couldn't capitalize. Marchand missed open nets. Trent Frederick missed one that all he had to do was just get it an inch off the ice, and it's a goal. And Frederick had already scored a goal earlier in the game. He also lost a big faceoff leading to the McCabe goal. So
Coyle had that post, too.
Yeah. So that one I feel a little better about. It's like you had the goalie beat. You put it like, I don't feel as bad about that, but fair. That's another one they could have scored on.
But Jones, like, as you said at the very beginning, they came out doing the exact thing that you were afraid that they were going to do. And even on yesterday's show, I think we all kind of left the studio going, yeah, like, I mean, they're not going to do that. They're not going to be so stupid to mess around with
trust
it.
Me.
But it's like tempting to think about because you've seen it from them before. The way that they came out in that first period was so completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
Yeah.
All of them except for Swayman. I don't really know who else you can exempt. Like the giveaway from Pastrnak that led to the face-off then and that then became a goal. And then also just the stupid Grislyk, like not even being able to clear the puck out from in front of his own net. Like they all looked half asleep.
No. So I said it. So I'm pissed at them. But I didn't think that was going to happen last night. I'm with you. I took the Bruins.
But doesn't this go back to Arcan's kind of school of thought, which is, yeah, maybe you're not afraid of the Leafs.
I'm not afraid of the Leafs.
You say this about the Celtics all the time. Like you're not afraid of the other team. But are you afraid of the puddle that your own team can melt into?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that...
Because that's how they started as
not against
puddle.
The Leafs, I'm not. Not against the Leafs.
Against the Leafs, fine. But every single time they play the Leafs in the playoffs, they go 7 games and they end up beating them. So they probably will this year, too. This shouldn't have been a 7-game series. This should have been a sweep. And part of that you can blame on Montgomery. The rest of it, I think you have to blame on the players. That game last night, I don't put on Montgomery. I don't like some of the decisions he made. But I do think that from just an effort perspective and looking like you give a crap in that first period, they were out of it completely until maybe like the last 10 minutes of the third period. That's the only time I ever watched them and thought, all right, it looks like they've finally woken up a little bit here, and they still couldn't score.
Yeah, see, the first period was pathetic. The first period, after that, I thought they were fine, but now it's a game. Now you've given Toronto life, and now it's a game. So I'm pissed at them. I'm not happy with how they played. I don't know how you could be. But I'm not nervous about them in this series. You want to make it bigger picture and like, will it cost them against Florida? Maybe. Maybe. But in this series, I'm not concerned because it's Toronto on the other side. And they're lucky it's Toronto on the other side. Because if there's another choking team out there that chokes bigger than the Bruins, it's the Leafs. And I think it'll happen again. How nervous are you? 617-779-7937. You can vote at Jones and Mego. Are you very nervous? No collapse. Are you sort of nervous? You don't trust them? Or not at all, Leafs stink. That's where I'm at. You can continue to vote over there. Meanwhile, Jim Montgomery has done a complete 180 from last night to tonight. He was asked why the Bruins were so flat last night after the game. Here's what Monty had to say.
I know we're in the moments right after the game, but do you have any explanation? Were you taken by surprise by just kind of how flat the guys came out?
Like for the start of the game, or are you talking overtime?
The start of the game, actually.
You pick.
Yeah. Again, we just weren't good enough, you know? That's weren't good enough. I don't have, you know, something to give you that's concrete that what led to our slow start. Besides, Toronto was better than us.
Okay, what do you do? Like, what exactly do you do here? You don't have any explanation for why your team was flat? Maybe he's that's like, the problem.
He's like, wait, so you're saying they were low energy and bad? At which point?
Wait, are we talking overtime when we were flat or the beginning of the game when we were flat? So, like, that's a maddening question to me. It's like, if you can't answer that, why you were flat, what happened, why did you lose the game? You can't answer that 5 minutes after the game?
What?
You're
what
the problem.
What would you say you do here?
I would love to know the answer to that.
You know, something to give you that's concrete.
Nothing concrete. I got nothing right now. I'm drawing a blank. And so that's an annoying answer from Jim Montgomery, who I think handled himself a little better today after he had time to think about it and maybe realized how flat and pathetic that answer sounded. But no, you're part of the problem,
which part of the answer? The beginning of the answer, the end of the answer?
The whole answer. but I blame Monty. I blame Marchand. Marchand's part of the leadership too. I hate to rip Marchand, but when you're flat, I look at the captain. If this was Bergeron and they came out and had 2 shots, I'd rip them limb from limb. So that's on Marchand. That's on Monty. That's on their leadership.
Like for the start of the game, or are you talking overtime?
No, the whole thing, Monty. The whole thing was terrible. Do you have an answer? So
we're
I hated that answer.
I don't have, you know, something to give you that's concrete.
Good. It sounds like you'll be making the right adjustments on the one day off you have.
So I don't know how you guys felt about that answer. I did not like that. I feel like
how could anyone possibly like that answer?
I feel like you should be able to verbalize it. Do we like this any better? Here he is today, trying to course correct a little bit.
How difficult was it to make changes to that lineup last night after you won 2 previous games with the group that have been
up there? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of discussions that go on, and in the end, I end up making decisions that I was really confident was best for the Boston Bruins, you know? And when it doesn't work out, I understand it comes with the territory. I'm going to be second guest and third and fourth guest, and rightfully so. That comes with the territory. It's just like when you make changes and things work out, you know? It's the same thing. But I know that I'm comfortable with decisions I made, why I made them, and all, and moving forward, and the criticism that comes with it.
Okay, might be your job security that comes with it. He also said, I'm pissed from last night. I don't understand or accept our play. I'm going to be pissed off until puck drop tomorrow night. So he's a little more fiery today. Maybe he's feeling it a little bit more today. You lose to Toronto, you're out of a job. Like, he realizes that.
Yes.
Again, I don't think they're going to. I would not bet on Toronto coming back and winning this series. But don't give him any more life. You've already given him too much life.
There's a certain thing that coaches in particular do, and it's not just hockey coaches, coaches across the board, where when they're trying to sell you on something very seriously, they say the longest form of the name they can. So he's like, the decision's for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like when people are like, we're talking about playing in the National Football League. It's like, oh, okay, I thought you were talking about the Providence Bruins. That's what everybody is there for in the press conference. I don't know. I just think it's goofy. It makes me
really
laugh.
Was really confident was best for the Boston Bruins.
Oh, the Boston Bruins. No, but I think it goes to what you're saying, Jones, which is he's feeling it. He's feeling it. He knows they should have had that game last night. He doesn't seem to have much of an explanation for why the guys couldn't show up in the first period other than they were playing a team on the other side who you thought was checked out and quitting, and you thought that your captain was inside their head, and it turns out they were going to play from a point of desperation, and you weren't prepared for it.
I'm worried about him. I don't think that he's the reason why they lost like that, but I'm worried about him going
Monty?
Forward. I'm concerned. I'm worried about Monty going forward. I don't think he's the main reason. I think that there's a lot of players that you have to blame first, but I'm worried about him. I'm worried about sort of his decision making. It's almost like they told him you can't do the goalie rotation, so he's like, fine, I'm going to rotate everybody else. Like, I'll rotate something, damn it. I'm into the rotation, and that's really what happened. There was no reason to make big changes like that. There's no reason to take out Beecher. That's what I am still really having trouble with. The defense, fine. Grizzly, I don't know. I don't really think he needs to be in again, but Shattenkirk was playing badly, and fine. You can rotate those guys around. Taking Beecher out I thought was insane and just a total self-inflicted wound, and what do you know? They get completely dominated in the faceoff. So I think that's one of those things you can look at and just say, well, what'd you do that for? There was really no need for this.
So I think
and
that's
it cost
valid.
You, I think.
I think that's valid, and you have to wonder if that's part of why they start flat. It's like, oh, okay, we can play backups. We can rotate guys in. This series is all wrapped up. There's no Matthews on the other side. We're toying around with our lineup. Maybe that's part of why they come out flat. So I do blame Monty for that. Again, you're changing out a fourth-line center and a bottom pair D. So I don't want to overreact to that. But they did get whooped in the faceoff circle, and Grizzly was out there on the game winner, getting caved in by Tavares. McAvoy's just standing there, picking his ass, by the way.
Well, no one noticed someone comes in behind them.
While Nyes comes in and just cleans up the goalie. So he's just He's just standing there waiting.
It was a total, like, durr moment.
Yeah, supposedly like a Norris finalist. He's just standing there while the puck kicks off a Grizzly skate. So, look, I blame their flat start more than anything else, more than lineup changes. Maybe that all ties together more than the losses in the faceoff circle or anything else. Their flat start. They thought they could. It's just like what we said yesterday. It was like the Celtics in game 2 against Miami. Oh, we could just show up and beat this team. They don't have Austin Matthews. We're at home. Series over. And that's a dangerous attitude, especially for a team that sucks on their home ice. So how nervous are you about the Bruins? You can weigh in.
I don't have, you know, something to give you that's concrete.
Great. Take your time. Take your time, Monty. When you're out of a job in the offseason, maybe you can think about that and give us an answer. Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Roba, at least he didn't blame some guy named Goalie Bob. True.
Mm. Improvement.
We might be citing Goalie Bob if there is any goalie rotation coming up.
Yeah, the goalie wasn't the problem last night. That's why he didn't cite
Bob. The goalie was great last night, but he lost the game, so the discussion has begun. Argam, 24. The coach can't yell at them like Cassidy, or the soft babies will cry. It's possible. He was a little meaner today. Mm. He was pissed off today.
Ooh, pissed off. Oh.
Marty Dangles. I like that. Also in the Twitch chat. Postaline has been extremely disappointing. So who are you most pissed? You said you don't blame Montgomery. Who are you most pissed at?
The Postaline is a great place to start. I think that they've been, in that game last night anyway, was completely invisible. I thought that they didn't get any offense started. I hated watching them get beat in the circle over and over again. And I think that guys like Lindholm on the back end, you know, if he's had sort of issues in this series in the first two games, I thought he picked it up and was better after that. But I didn't like it when he had a hard time just clearing the zone. All of them did. I didn't like that they couldn't complete passes. They couldn't get the puck out. They couldn't do all these basic things and had to be on their heels over and over again and get bailed out by Swayman, which is how the game went basically the entire time outside of those first 5 minutes. Like, it seemed like that never really changed, and there was never any adjustments, which you can point to Monty and say that's his fault, but we got some veterans on this team. They should be able to adjust on their own. They should be able to make things more difficult on a reeling team like the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I would like to split it between Marchand and Pastrnak. I just think that it's, when you're in the position of leadership that they are and the impact that they can make in the game, you don't come out and have two shots in the first period and make their goalie on the other side look even better than Swayman. I mean, he really did last night. Like, to me, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
that, by the way, is a scrub. That's a scrub
goalie. You made
goalie.
Him look like a Vezina goalie. Like, it was insane to me, and so it was very disappointing. And those two, I mean, not Marchand, but Pastrnak has this reputation that the hockey hardos hate to hear about when he disappears at different points in the playoffs. Last night, he did worse than disappear. He was more like a net negative at times when he was out there. So I would split it between them, but I also don't want to excuse Montgomery because I think he was just trying to do too much last night, and I don't get it.
Yeah, so Marchand would be at the top of my list. And again, it's, you're the leader, you're the captain, get the team going. You also had some of the best scoring chances last night. I know he got one bouncing puck in front that didn't settle for him. I think it was from Coyle. Wide open net. You're a world-class player, and he can't finish off there. He also had an opportunity in overtime where he had multiple... did he have a Maple Leaf stick out there? Like, he had, like, an extra stick out there on the ice, like, running around? So he had a chance. Puck goes out the other way. Next thing you know, it's in the back of the net, and the Bruins lost. So I'd have Marchand at the top of the list. Again, I would rip Bergeron if this were Bergeron's team and that's how they played in an elimination game. So Marchand's at the top of my list. Pastrnak is right behind, though, and... you guys talk about the giveaways. You're pissed about the faceoff that led to the McCabe goal. I mean, he's going to have giveaways. That's fine. It wasn't a good one. I didn't feel like that was specifically costly. If Frederick wins a faceoff, you're fine. And so I hated the one where he gave it away in his own zone. He wound up blocking a shot. Like, it's the first time I've ever seen him use his body, block a shot. But he almost got himself hurt.
Yeah. That giveaway was ridiculous.
Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah. It's like you thought the guy was on the wrong team.
And so he gives the puck away. He blocks the shot. He almost get, who knows? You're getting down on one knee. You're sacrificing your body. You might get hurt there. He rolls backwards over his knee, which, great. Get yourself hurt out there because of an awful giveaway. I'd have Pastrnak right on his heels. I get the Grizzly lament. I understand all that. But to me, he's a little further down the list. I'd start with your key players who are supposed to carry you.
Right, and key players is the right way to say it because, again, it's like, okay, you can pile on Grizzly. This is how Grizzly has played, not as poorly as last night, but he hasn't been great all year. So with that instance, I'd go, okay, well, maybe then you should look at the person who's making the lineups to be upset that he's out there in overtime and that he's a total turnstile there.
No, that'd be a good place to start. And I don't absolve Monty. I don't. 617.
I'm getting frustrated with Pavel Zacha. I like him a lot. And I don't know. I feel like this is a series and a matchup that he should be doing better in. And he's got 2 points and he's a -2 in the series, in a series that they're up on. I just feel like he hasn't shown much.
617-779-7937. How nervous are you about the Bruins? We have Sorja in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones, Mango, Arkent, how are we today?
Hey, Sorja.
I just had a really quick point on the Bruins. I just think it's just so disheartening sometimes where these guys just don't feel like they come out to play. You look at the putrid home record, and I think you guys are absolutely right. I just wanted to give you this real nugget really quick. Razor on the Greg Hill show the other day said that he was in the exact seat when from last year, and I think these guys just have to block out the noise because you know that everyone is going to keep comparing this to the Panthers series from last year.
So they are going to have to deal with that. I just think it's a totally different team on the other side. The Leafs are chokers. They're not a heavy team like Florida is. And so...
no, but the goalie change and everything, like, there are a lot of scary similarities.
I guess. Look, I'm not that nervous about this series. I hated how they played last night, and I'm pissed about how they played, but I don't think that's going to cause them to lose the series. Are you frightened? Are you terrified? Are you nervous? You can weigh in. At Jones and Mego on Twitter. A lot of you are. You can also weigh in on the phone. 617-779-7937. We are live at Fenway Park here today in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. We're going to talk to Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, right after Trending with Arkan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's weird, right? It's weird.
Yes.
I'm just embracing it.
Jones and Mego. Nah, you're right. It's weird.
1-0 to Abreu. He's doubled and walked the pitch. Ripped down the right field line. Will it stay fair? Yes, it will. Just past the pole. It planks off the wall. It rolls around. Duran has scored. Abreu around second. Into third with a head first slide. It's an RBI triple. And the Red Sox lead it 4-0.
Red Sox, another win last night at Fenway Park, 17-13 here on the first day of May. Now we'll get back to your Bruins thoughts live on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI, but we're joined right now by the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by Sherwin-Williams. The Sherwin-Williams Pro Plus program helps you manage and grow your paint business. Alex Cora, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. Playing good baseball. Of course, a lot of stuff going on with the club, but happy with the way we played this month. Obviously, the pitching has been outstanding. The defense has been better. And offensively, actually, what we saw yesterday, that's what I see this club doing. You know, hit a lot of doubles, not striking out, and putting pressure on the opposition.
You mentioned a lot is going on. There's reports out there, some movement on the roster. What's the status of that?
Yeah, we're going to put Massa on the IL. You know, it's the smart thing to do. Just take care of his hand, and then whenever he comes back, and he'll be ready to do his job. You know, Grissom, we're hoping for him to join the team in Minnesota. He feels a lot better today, so he'll come to Fenway tomorrow, work out with us. And if everything goes well, he should be with us on Friday. Zach Short, we got him in a trade from the Mets. We're working on the logistics. Probably he won't be with us today, most likely tomorrow. So that's where we're at.
This is a team where you guys were coming out of spring training and it seemed like attitude was so good. You guys talked a lot about the culture that you were building. Now that you're having to deal with so many injuries, bring different guys in, what has it been like to kind of try to maintain that optimism and culture, and who are you looking to in the clubhouse to kind of keep the continuity, I guess, from the team that you had in spring training to who you're playing now?
Yeah, believe it or not, relying a lot on the young kids, Duran, Rafaela, Abreu. I've been saying all along, they well, Jaron has been around. You know, he's been around the last few years, so he's been part of this. But they don't know any better. Kind of like, this is my time to shine. This is my opportunity to be an established big leaguer. In Jaron's case, he's played every game, you know, and I've been challenging him, kind of like, hey, you're going to play every game, and he's been good. Rafaela, obviously, the contract, but establishing himself, becoming a big leaguer, he's been good at shortstop. And Abreu, just a good player. Obviously, Rafi and Ref Nider, they've been part of this, but I think having youth and athletes has actually helped in that sense. You see it, you know, there's been some different lineups, different combinations of players, and they've been doing an amazing job. And at the end, if you pitch the way we've been pitching, it makes it a lot easier, right? Like, we've been in every game, and it's what we've done from the mound has been great.
All right, so on the topic of Yoshida going down now with this IL stint, it seemed like before this, you guys were having some trouble getting him into the lineup at times. With him out on the shelf now, what do you think the plan's going to be to sort of bring him back into the lineup when that time comes?
No, he's our DH, and it just happens that week, Tyler was coming from the concussion. He needed to DH. Rafi, you know, he wasn't ready to play third base, so he was going to DH. We made the decision that he wasn't going to play that much outfield. I think as far as the alignment, he's been really good defensively. You know, we don't have Sedan in the outfield, but we still had Jaron, Abreu, O'Neill. Ref Knight came back, so it's a good combination. And, you know, Masa is our DH, and when he comes back, that's what we expect.
On Grissom, he was pretty good on his rehab stint. You were hoping to get him back last night. He's sick. You mentioned you're expecting to get him into the lineup against Minnesota. Where is he going to fit, and what do you expect out of him?
Yeah, it's just – I think that the at-bat from Cooper and Grissom is going to change kind of like who we are offensively. Both of them, they can go the other way. They can do damage. They can put an at-bat together. We got to remember, Vaughn is still a kid. He's only 23. So the expectations can be that high, but this guy has hit everywhere he's played, you know, and he hits for average. We do believe with time he's going to hit for power. He's going to be one of those guys that he will put the ball in play with two strikes and probably hit a lot of doubles here. Defensively, it's a work in progress. He's learning how to play second base. But the reports that we got from Chad Tracy and Jose Flores in AAA, he made all the plays. He's a good athlete. And it seems like, kind of like Tyler, he likes this. You know, he likes the environment. You know, he was actually eager to play yesterday, and it didn't happen. He was a little bit disappointed, but hey, he will play at Fenway Park. We know that. So let's be patient. Let's be smart about it. And whenever he's ready, he's ready, but hopefully it's Friday.
Okay, speaking of patience, I don't know if you saw this, but Dan Roach from WBZ earlier this week, he was stumping for you to get an extension. He wants you to get a contract extension because of how the team has started out in the face of all these injuries and everything else. Would you be open to that conversation?
I think right now I'm concentrating on helping this team to win games, make them better, and then what happens in the future happens in the future. I'm in a good place. I'm very happy with how we're doing things. I'm very happy with the group. And, you know, we just have to be patient in that aspect. And whenever that happens, happens.
Alex Speer wrote today about an audit that's going on or is going to be going on in baseball operations. Do you know anything about that? And if you do, what's what are people saying about it around here?
Yeah, I think we talked about it 3 weeks ago in spring training, and everything that happens with that is upstairs. Doesn't have to do with the clubhouse and all that. So
well, that's a relief.
Yeah. So they deal with that. We deal with this.
I was reading some comments from you recently. It's Cutter Crawford tonight. And I was reading some comments from you recently, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said you guys effectively made a mistake by making him a reliever and a two-pitch pitcher. Where was the push for that? And I guess if there were no injuries to Giolito and everyone else, would he have opened in the rotation?
Yeah, he was going to be a starter this year. After what he did last year, we made the decision in the offseason. He's our number three, and then the other three guys have to compete for the last two spots. Then Lucas gets hurt, and this is where we're at. Actually, I was pro putting Cutter in the bullpen when we did a few years ago. That was the first time I saw him throwing a bullpen, and he was throwing 97 with a good breaking ball. At that time, the philosophy was more fastballs up, breaking balls down, so he fit the program. It didn't work. You know, it was hard for us to find him innings. It's kind of like what we did with Whitlock, what we're trying to do with Slayton. Find a lane that they can go two innings, but at that point, we weren't playing good baseball, so it was hard to use cutter the right way. We made the decision to send him to AAA. He got down there and start pitching again. And one of the things about him, besides the repertoire, is the pitchability. He's very smart, very smart. When to go up and in, when to use his cutter, change speeds with the breaking ball. He got back to that. I remember he had a start in Seattle. We needed him. He went up there. He went five innings, no runs, a few hits, 100 pitches. It was 50-50, 50% strikes. So I saw it there, and we made the decision that, okay, cool. Last year, because of where we were, we made him a weapon out of the bullpen, and we did a good job using him in multiple innings. It was a lot easier last year. And when everybody went down, he became a starter, and he's a good one. Just the attention to details. He talks a lot to Chris Sale. He helped him a lot, obviously, coming from the same program in college and just being around him here. It's kind of like that's his mentor. And obviously, different styles, right? Lefty-righty, slider, breaking ball. But he's good. He's really good.
Your pitching coach, Andrew Bailey, has been getting a lot of press basically since the opening day. How much credit do you give him for the way that the rotation has shaped out so positively this year?
A lot of credit to Craig. I do believe from top to bottom, the pitching philosophy is a lot different. And, you know, the last 2 years we struggle. We threw strikes. We did. And that's something Haim and the group always wanted, you know, like throw strikes. But the quality of the strikes weren't there. And we got hit hard in the strikes on last year. Everybody has talked about fastball usage. We have mentioned it, right, the last 2 weeks. And it's different, but we're not shying away from it. It's just like this is where the game is at. And with two strikes, you use your other pitches, and you're going to get swings and misses. More swings and misses this year, more weak contact with two strikes, and you see the results. Andrew is outstanding, you know, very positive. You know, he wants to be a part of something special. He did an outstanding job with the Giants, but he's from the area. He wanted to be in the East Coast, and just for him to be part of this, it's been great. Devin Rose, Justin Wheeler, Kevin Walker, our bullpen coach, and the captain. This group is nonstop. They're relentless on what they do, and I saw it in spring training. I saw it. I was like, you know what? This is going to work. And so far, so good, but we still got a long ways to go.
You got Yankee fans out there taking pictures, huh?
Yeah, probably from Puerto Rico, too.
Oh, nice.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Alex, you're aware this is a very special anniversary in Red Sox history. Do you know what it is?
No.
18 years ago, 2006, catcher was traded from the Red Sox.
Oh, Doug Mirabelli. Yeah.
Doug Mirabelli.
Bro, that was, I mean, like.
What do you remember about that day?
The way the grounds crew work, you know, all of a sudden they're watering the field and all of a sudden it's not working and they delayed the whole thing. It was amazing. I was like, this is really happening, you know, like no way. Dougie comes in, police escort. I mean, like, I felt like, oh, who's, is this Jason? I mean, the captain is going to catch for us, you know, like he got, so he comes in, you know, Wake on the mound, of course. No warm-up pitches, straight from the clubhouse to the plate. Josh Bart, who was a catcher, you remember?
That poor guy. Yeah.
He's a bullpen coach for the Dodgers.
Okay.
All I remember the first month of the season was his number all the time. You know, it was like wild pitch, wild pitch, wild pitch.
Back to the back.
I mean, and I played with Josh in Cleveland, and he tried everything. They called Mirabelli, how you got to set up. He was trying to be somebody that he wasn't. You know, he wanted to do everything like Doug, like Mirabelli, and it doesn't work. So we pulled the trade. Doug comes in, first knuckleball, he got it, and it was like
it's like riding the bike.
Yeah,
right?
It was easy. He was. It was great.
Is it really that hard to catch?
I asked Tech, and you know, I think Wakes was very. It was tough. You know, like
yeah, Tech
hard.
Didn't catch it either.
No, yeah. I mean. Remember, he caught him in in game seven of the 0-3 towards the end, right?
Yeah.
Good for Tech. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's tough.
It's tough. Okay. Our Sherwin-Williams question of the week is from Steve Morrell of Commercial Painting. MLB is making changes to the uniforms. This has been in the news the last couple of days. What'd you think of the old ones? You're already laughing. And were they really that bad?
I've been using the old one. I don't know if this is going to get me in trouble, but the other day, Tommy, our clubby, you know, he talked to the players. He's like, hey, guys, we're going to make adjustments and all that. And I think the fans notice it. I noticed a few pants been ripped, right, and sliced. So we got to make an adjustment. We do. Yeah.
Okay. That's our question of the week. If you got paint questions, you can ask Sherwin-Williams. Alex Cora, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Manager of the Red Sox, 17-13 start. They get the Giants tonight at Fenway Park. Some lineup changes on the way. Yoshida to the IL. Other outside transactions as well. We'll get you up to speed on that, and we'll get back to the Bruins. 617-779-7937. Jones and Mego with Arcan live today in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. You like Crazy Town?
I think Crazy Town for sure.
Megan Ottolini.
I love fire.
Christian Arcan.
I love shrooms.
This is Jones and Mega with Arcan.
Let me upgrade you
on WEEI.
They were just better. You know, they came and they were willing to leave it all on the line tonight. And we needed to be better than we were. You know, it's that simple. They were prepared to play and start the game, and we weren't. You know, and unfortunately, we never really kind of got it together throughout the game. There's a lot of opportunities, but, you know, it's on to the next one.
How disappointing is that start, especially in this one?
Yeah, need to be better there. You know, we needed better urgency. They you knew they were going to come and compete hard and be prepared. So we needed to be better, but it is what it is, you know. Can't dwell on it. Got to look at what we can be better at and prepare for the next one.
Brad Marchand following the Bruins 2-1 overtime loss last night. He's number one. It pains me to say it, but number one on my list following the game. You're the leader. You had opportunities to score. Your team is going back to Toronto. He's top of the list, but throw Pastrnak on there. Montgomery deserves some ridicule today for his lineup changes and the team getting outshot 12-2 in the first period. People are pissed at Grizzlick, among others.
A lot of
blame to go around. I haven't heard much for Swayman, and I don't think there's much of a goalie discussion. But we can get into that coming up here on Jones and Mego with Arcan live in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. We just got done talking to Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox. That's up now on the Odyssey app. Use the rewind feature. You can listen to it in full. Ken's in Ludlow, waiting patiently. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. First of all, I couldn't agree with you guys more wholeheartedly than, you know, making the changes in the lineup like that. You know, you won three games with the guys out there. It's not like it's high school sports and it's JV and everybody gets to play. You put your studs out there and you go get it. And then it was just an observation that I had last night. I watched the first period on Nesson, the second one on ESPN, I think, and then the third back to Nesson. And even the ESPN guys had made mention of it, that the condition of the ice was just, it seemed god-awful to me.
Calls like this annoy me. Mego, you made a point about this earlier off the air, that it's not even like it was hot out, number one.
Have we had a day above 70 degrees? Like, today it's what, like 52 outside?
Yeah.
It's a little early in the calendar.
I hate crying about the ice. It's like both.
Yeah, because Toronto gets special ice.
Yeah, thank you. Both teams use the same ice. It's just like, I get annoyed at calls like that. It's like, okay, fine. The ice was crappy. Both teams had to deal with it. Toronto figured it out. They beat you.
Both broadcasts talked about it.
You know what? I did flip around on both broadcasts because Nesson was horrific last night. But then I went to ESPN and they were like 2 full minutes behind. Did anybody else do that?
Yes.
Okay. It was so far behind. I couldn't focus on the game. I'm like, I've already seen all this. Was so long ago. I've already seen all this.
Was Nesson glitching again? We were watching on ESPN.
Super glitchy. So okay. So I went back. I dealt with the glitchiness, but it was all night. It was audio. It was technical. It would skip.
I had to stop looking at Twitter because it was
this
just
what I mean.
People would tweet about things.
Spoiler
that hadn't
alert.
ESPN was so far behind. Yeah. Well, you know, some of us, it was stealing really is what it was. Some of us had the Maple Leafs on a race to 5 shots last night. And I was itching to use my live boost is what I was itching to do. And so I had to be live watching the game, and I didn't like being behind 2 minutes. It's not what I appreciated. So some of us wanted to be right on time, Arkan. Never mind a Twitter delay on top of it. But yep, cash money on the Leafs, 1 of 5 shots.
Nice work.
Bad ice.
But bad ice to me is, again, it's just both teams are dealing with it. Now, on the lineup changes, my gripe with the lineup changes, I mean, Grizzlick was out there on the ice for another game winner. Fine. But, like, at that point, you're in overtime. You already should have finished the Leafs off. But my issue is, were you flat because of the lineup changes? And this is kind of how I felt about going to Ullmark in game two. Two of their worst performances have been when they treat it like a regular season game. It's not high intensity, high stakes, best players out there. It's, oh, let's get some backups in there. It is little league-esque. That's what
Do you think that's what it was? You think it was like, let's get these guys a little experience in a game that doesn't matter so much because we're going to wipe the bad
ice. Well, why
with
change
them?
Your lineup?
I can't. I don't know.
Okay,
like, so that's
my explanation
like
for why they were flat.
You look at what they did from 3 to 4, and that made sense, and it worked. So why not stick with it? And it's that kind of thinking that makes me worried that they're going to do maybe not in this series, but if they make it to the next series or there is a game 7, that they're going to treat the goalie rotation the same way.
Oh no!
I mean, look, Fluto in the Athletic has already floated a little bit of
let's
that possibility.
Let's get to it. I want to get to the goalie rotation coming up because I think we're all in
it's
agreement.
It's making me squawk.
We're all in agreement. There shouldn't be any more talk of the goalie rotation, and yet there's talk of it. There's conversation. So what are the Bruins going to do in game 6 with their whole lineup? We'll add the goalie discussion to it as well. 617-779-7937. Our big question of the day remains up at Jones and Mego. How nervous are you about the Bruins? Are you worried they're going to collapse? You're a little nervous because you can't trust them? Or are you not nervous at all like me because it's the Leafs on the other side? And I've seen this story before. We'll get to all your feedback coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.